Well, I'm apologizing before I begin because
quite a few words in here I can't pronounce, but I'll do the best I can.
Just do it with confidence. That's what I did this morning.
Okay. I'm going to read from Luke 3, verses 1 through 6. In the 15th year of the reign of the Emperor of Tiberias, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Tyre and Trachonitis, and Lysana, ruler of Albany. During the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to the son of Zechariah in the wilderness. He went into all the region around Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all the flesh shall see the salvation of God. Thus is the reading of the word of God.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It's easy to forget that Advent is a season of preparation for Christmas, when we usually spend the month of December preparing our homes and our families for Christmas. There are trees to be brought down from the attic, so many lights to untangle, hooks to locate for ornaments that are so old the glitter has fallen off of them. Not to mention cookies to bake and presents to wrap and Christmas sweaters to buy. Into this Advent busyness every year comes the still small voice of John the Baptist. John is the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy of a voice proclaiming from the wilderness to prepare the way for the Lord. Throughout Scripture, the wilderness is this place of testing, of withdrawal, and prayer. It's fitting that John would be proclaiming from the wilderness, because at the time when he's preaching, in the cities, there's some conflict. And there's conflict between the Roman authorities and the Jewish people. The Romans were encouraging emperor worship, literal emperor worship, but also they were stamping Herod's face and name on everything from currency to the entrance to buildings. King Herod was brutalizing his people with taxes they could never pay. The people of Israel were ripe and ready for change, looking for God to once again deliver God's people and set them free from oppression. So into this myriad history comes John, going about the entire country, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. John demands that we get ready for the Messiah by repenting or by asking God's forgiveness for our sins. We have to ask God to forgive us of the ways we have failed to live as God's children, of the ways we have broken the commandments, abused the earth, and failed and fostered a sense of disunity amongst our neighbors. And his challenging words don't just call us to reflect, they also call us to take steps to change our behavior. But what exactly is this baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins that John talks about? Start by saying a few words about baptism. So in baptism, we, or if we're too young, our parents, profess belief in Jesus. And they profess that this belief changes how they are going to live or how they are going to raise their children. But after this profession of belief calls for a repentance of sin, we confess that we are sinful beings, and apart from Jesus, will continue to be that way. And baptism, where we profess our faith, or where we repent of our sin, is seen as this marker of beginning our life in Christ, because it is only through profession of faith and repentance of sin that we can receive the life and ministry and even death of Jesus. John also has a pretty specific understanding of repentance. Repentance comes from the Greek word metanoia, which means to change one's mind, to turn around, or to reorient oneself. Specifically here, John is challenging the people to turn away from their sins and to turn towards God, to seek God's forgiveness, and to prepare the way for the Lord. So one of the questions we must wrestle with on this second Sunday of Advent is, how do we turn to God and turn away from our sin? I don't know about you all, but seasons of busyness can make me unattentive to my sin, particularly how my behavior is affecting other people. So during seasons of busyness, or during seasons where I'm trying to focus on repentance, I find it helpful to engage in this practice called the daily examine. Has anyone heard of the daily examine? No? Great! I'm going to explain it to you this morning. So the daily examine is actually an ancient practice of the church, and it is to help us see God at work during the entirety of our day. And it is a technique of prayerful reflection on the events of the day, so that we can see where God was in our day and maybe discern what direction God is pointing us in. Now, I like to do the examine at the end of the day, while the events of the day are still fresh in my mind. But you can also do it in the morning and reflect on the previous day. And I know some people who do it over their lunch break and reflect on the previous morning and evening. But whatever time of day you pick, you want to pick a time that you can stick with. So for example, if you are a morning person, doing the examine at 11:30 at night is probably not going to be a practice you can repeat with any regularity. In the same way, if you maybe have really small children, doing it when they're taking a nap is the best time of day to do it, which may vary depending on the day. But you want to pick a time when you've got some energy and you've got some quiet in your life. So this morning, I'm going to guide us through a daily examine prayer. We're going to do a modified version, because normally this prayer is done by yourself, and we're going to do it as a group. So when you're doing it on your own, feel free to take as long or as short as you would like, but I'm going to kind of keep us moving through the different movements so we're not here until 4 o'clock this afternoon. All right, so we're going to begin. I would like everyone to close their eyes. The first step of the examine is to become aware of God's presence. quiet your heart and your mind of the day's worries and distractions. You may find it helpful to take several slow, centering breaths where you breathe in the spirit and you breathe out the day's worries. The next step of the examine is to review your day with gratitude. This is where you slowly begin to move through your day. Pay attention to the movements of the day that may seem insignificant to you. A stranger stopped to let you merge on a crowded highway. You received a Christmas card in the mail from a friend you haven't spoken to in a while. Your wife made your favorite dinner. As you make your way through the day, pause and give thanks to God for the day's blessings. The next step of the examine is to pay attention to your emotions. As you go through your day a third time, pay attention to the emotions you're feeling in your body as you move through the day. Where did you experience anger, or joy, or peace, or frustration, or even boredom? Pay particular attention to where you experienced a surprising emotion, as well as maybe where you found yourself feeling an inappropriate emotion, knowing that God uses our emotions to point us in different directions. Next, I want you to choose one part of your day and pray from it. Now, you want to keep this as simple and as straightforward as you can. So, for example, one prayer that I find myself praying a lot lately is, "Lord, I'm sorry I rolled my eyes at my coach when he told me to get lower on my back squats. He just wants me to improve my form. The next time I'm doing back squats, help me to listen to him and to receive his criticism well." The final part of the examine is to look towards tomorrow. And this is the part of the prayer where you want to ask God's forgiveness for areas where you have sinned and fallen short. Ask the Holy Spirit for protection and help. Reflect on how you are forgiven and how, because of Jesus, you don't have to take yesterday's sins into tomorrow. All right, everyone can open their eyes now. How did that work for everyone? Does it seem like something you could maybe incorporate into your life? It's okay, you don't have to answer me now. What I love about this type of prayer is it's a type of prayer that can be done when you are feeling busy and overwhelmed. We did that in about 5 minutes, but you can do it efficiently between 10 and 20 minutes when you're on your own, which is the perfect amount of time to pray at the end of the day. I like to use the examine particularly when I'm traveling and I don't have like kind of my normal things around me to help get me in the prayerful state of mind. And it's particularly helpful when you really want to remember the events of your day, but you're having trouble putting them together. And I also think this is a particularly helpful practice during Advent because it helps us see our lives through the lens of the Holy Spirit. On this second Sunday in Advent, we typically celebrate peace. And I believe that when we learn to repent of our sin, when we learn to ask God's forgiveness, we can find peace with ourselves, with one another, and with our world. Because we know that God loves us and that God forgives our sin when we ask God to. John's message of repentance is actually really good news for those of us who feel conflicted with ourselves. Because repentance prepares us to receive the way of the Lord. To accept John's message of repentance and practice repentance in our daily lives is to be ready for the Messiah. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen.